I'm Elder Stephen Snow, and you're listening to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Church members have been counseled to keep journals for a long time. Does that apply to general authorities as well? Elder Stephen Snow of the First Quorum of 70 will answer that question in our next conversation. And we'll also talk about church and state. We'll get into some political issues, and I'll ask him if it's okay to be a Mormon and a Democrat. You'll be surprised by his answer, or at least I was, that's for sure. We'll also talk a little bit about the policy of exclusion, and I'll get Elder Snow's thoughts on that. So that will be very great, and you won't want to miss it. Check out our conversation.
To me, what really resonates are the stories of those that went before, and that's why I think it's so important, and even today, that we haven't spoken a lot about journals since President Kimball's time, but it's important to leave a record for your family to let them know about your faith and your challenges, your trials, your difficulties, you know, what you did, what your faith meant to you.
Now, we've heard that some of the general authorities have been told not to write journals because of
President Packer was we try to encourage the brethren, the new brethren, to keep a record. Now, as a general authority, if your journal belongs to the church, so it's okay. You sign an agreement when you're called that's the case. All your personal papers.
Oh, really?
That relate to your time as a general authority are technically church property. That's a legal agreement that you sign.
Oh.
Now, if you're good enough to keep a journal and not make reference to your church service, you could do that, but that's pretty hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
My wife keeps a journal. I'm not as good a journal keeper as I should be, but my papers will be with the church, you know, during the period of time that I served as a 70 for that 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Leonard Arrington was the first church historian that was trained as
right.
a historian,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like there was a lot of fallout over that, and they actually got rid of the office for a time.
They did, that's true.
And so I think Marlon Jensen was the first one to get that after Leonard Arrington, if I believe
no,
that.
No, there were others called, including Larson, Dean Larson.
Okay.
Homer Durham, I think. I don't know. There was a little fuzzy there in my mind who was the executive director of the church history or the historical department back then, and who was church historian. They did. Dean Larson was called as a church historian, but was not active in the role for many years. There's really about 16 years where there really wasn't an acting church historian until Marlon Jensen was called about, it'd be 15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
President Hinckley called him.
Do you ever see that happening again, or we get a trained historian as church historian? Or?
I don't know what the leaders of the church will see. I see the church historian playing a very important role in the future, but you know, we don't have a presiding patriarch any longer.
That's right.
So it depends on what the prophet wants to do, but I think church history plays a very important role, and I think promotes faith. The work we do, I think, promotes faith amongst the members of the church. So I see a bright future for church history.
Oh, well, great. Well, there was something that you said right before we turned the camera on that surprised me, and I think it would surprise my audience. And so I'm just going to ask this question this way. Can you be a good church member and be a Democrat?
Well, I've heard that question a lot. I don't hear it much anymore, but I've been certainly apolitical during my tenure as a general authority, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's appropriate, and I always appreciate the fact that the leadership of the church is neutral on politics. I really don't hear a lot of talk. The politics just doesn't seem to enter into the equation. The brethren and the sisters in leadership positions are worrying about an international church. They don't get too hung up on state, local, and national politics. We do rely on our senators to help us who are members of the church, and congressmen on occasions where visas are a problem or we have missionaries being detained somewhere, as we have recently in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Romney and Senator Lee have both been helpful, as was Senator Hatch, Senator Bennett before. Senator Harry Reid was very, very instrumental in helping the church many, many times. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought it was wonderful we had a faithful member who was a Republican running for president, but we also had the majority leader of the Senate, Harry Reid, as a faithful Sunday school teaching, recommend holding Democrat who loves his church and loves his faith.
He even attacked me during the campaign. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. So you're saying you can't be a good Democrat?
I've been active as a Democrat before my call as a,
wow.
As a general.
See, I think that's a secret. I don't think very many people know that.
Well, I don't think politics enters into too much in our calling as a general authority.
Well, and I believe Elder Jensen before you was a Democrat.
Yeah,
we used to
talk to each other about the results of the elections, but yeah, he's always been a good Democrat.
Well, great. Do you have any sense? And I don't want you to name names, especially if you don't want to. But do you have any sense for how many of the Quorum of 70 or apostles lean towards the Democratic positions?
Well, I think the minority, and I think the Tribune ran an article several years ago. They checked the voting, the records, the state records.
Oh, really?
And identified who was and was not, their political affiliation. Most now of the 12 are independent. Many of them were Republican before. I think probably the most known would be James Faust. President Faust was a very good active Democrat, one-time mm-hmm. chairman of the state Democratic Party. Hubie Brown, of course, was a very active Democrat.
I know there's another one that would surprise most people, which was Boyd K. Packer.
Well, I don't know his political affiliation.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that he grew up as a Democrat, but I think he, towards the end of his life, he leaned more Republican.
I don't know his politics.
Okay.
I know the Idaho Attorney General, Ben was called as a general authority. He was over Bureau of Indian Affairs. Larry Echohawk.
Oh, yes.
Is a Democrat. He ran as a Democrat for Idaho Attorney General and served in the Obama administration as the head of Bureau of Indian Affairs.
So, oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So there are
but,
some
you know,
Democrat
there's not a lot of talk
models,
about
huh?
politics around here. But there have been a few, yeah.
Okay. Well, so another question I was curious about, and I've had some people ask me about this, especially it seems like the Democrats are more, what's the word? More open to, say, LGBT members. Is that a big hot button issue with the leaders in the church? And do you have any comments for people who are leaning towards
LGBT? I don't know
LGBT?
I can be very helpful, Rick, on that. I think church has pretty well stated their position on that. Elder Oaks, President mm-hmm. Oaks, spoken often about it. I think we've been taught over and over again as members to be more loving and more welcoming and to set our any bias that we might have aside and, you know, love our fellow man regardless of their sexual orientation or their religious beliefs or their race, whatever. You know, that we should love one another. And I think we've been counseled repeatedly, especially in the last few years, to be more accepting and to set aside any personal bias that we might have had concerning LGBT issues. And mm-hmm. so I think it's pretty, the record's pretty well set, and I don't really have much to add to that. We'll see. I think it's a transition that no issue, I think, culturally has changed as much as those issues in the last couple of decades. I mean, it's just been culturally, it's been phenomenal to watch how those issues have changed, and now same-sex marriage is, you know, constitutional. And so I think we as a church are still kind of catching up and getting used to all the changes. But I think clearly right now our doctrine has been pretty well established and preached from the pulpit. So I think we put a lot of faith and credence in the plan of happiness, the plan of salvation, which mm-hmm. involves families. And I don't really have much more to add. Okay. I don't think I could be very helpful on all those issues.
Well, that's great. The only other question I just would like to follow up on that is, do you have any personal feelings towards the reversal? Were you happy or sad? Or I know some people have
reversal been, about
the policy on baptizing children of gay parents. I know that was a big issue for a lot of people. I know Greg Prince, in one of our recent interviews, mentioned that 60,000 people left the church that first year. I know Jana Reese, on the other hand, has said, you know, they did that study on the next Mormons, and said that she didn't find that kind of evidence.
I don't know, and I don't. I just don't know. I've heard anecdotal opinions about it. I found the policy to be very unfortunate. I was very disappointed and very troubled when the policy was announced in November of 2015, I guess. Mm-hmm. It caused a lot of difficulty and soul searching for me. I couldn't quite understand why we needed to make such a fuss about a handbook amendment, and was that really necessary, and was there really a need for that kind of thing? It seemed to me it could have been handled by a case-by-case basis. It just seemed to be a way overreaction. That's what I thought personally at the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was really gratified to see that it was changed. I mean, I was really grateful that it was changed.
Me too, yes.
Now, I have a lot of friends, acquaintances, I have family members that, you know, are gay, and I was very, very happy to see that change. I just think it was unfortunate that it happened in the first place. Mm-hmm. Very unfortunate. And I just think we've got enough to deal with in the church. Why do we shoot ourselves in the foot over something like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting.
And that's a pretty candid answer.
That is. That's great. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Elder Stephen Snow. In our next and final conversation with him, I will ask him if the church hides historical documents and whether the church has become more open in recent years. But it's only available to newsletter subscribers, so please subscribe to my newsletter at gospeltangents.com/newsletter, and I will send you a secret link so that you can hear the final part of our conversation with Elder Stephen Snow.
But I think we've made a lot of progress.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we talk about Leonard Arrington's time. And that was a time of great kind of awakening and opening of church records that had mm-hmm. never been seen before. Mm-hmm. And it may be a little too much for the comfort of the brethren at the time.
Well, and he also had Mark Hoffman in that time period,
well,
too.
Yeah, well, exactly.
He didn't help things.
No, he did not help. And but I think today we are so far beyond even the days of Leonard and Arrington. It's just been gratifying to be able to contribute to that.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available at either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com. And you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.